Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm John Kamensky, your host and the senior fellow at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving the management of government. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who's changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Matthew Machevsky, the administrator of the state of Wisconsin's Enterprise Technology Division and the state's chief information officer. Good morning, Matthew.
Good morning.
Matt, we typically begin by talking about the history and the background of your organization, but our listeners are probably more interested in the present. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Wisconsin now and how many residents there are and what's the largest area of the growth and all?
Wisconsin is, over the past 4 years, has kind of been the exception within the Midwest in terms of a lot of the issues that drive IT in Wisconsin as well. We've got 5.5 million residents and taxpayers in the state. And that in certain areas we've experienced a good deal of demographic growth, whereas some of the other states have seen some shrinking in terms of demographics. We've got a great and growing population of Hispanics in southeastern Wisconsin. The Hmong community is growing in central Wisconsin. And all of that is giving us this incredible diverse workforce that we're able to take advantage of in the state to grow industries like our biomedical industry that we're concentrating on a good deal in central Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin-Madison is a great launching point for us to have discussions of biomedical organizations, and the Institute for Discovery is one of the kind of jewels in Governor Doyle's crown right now in terms of really supporting the growing and nascent biotech industry in the state of Wisconsin. And so, you know, the largest area of growth in terms of population is really southeastern and western Wisconsin, what we sometimes call the IQ corridor. And in terms of growth in the economy, we're seeing a lot of growth in biomed, and that's one of our concentrations as we move forward.
What about the state government? Could you give us a little perspective on like the size of the state budget and how many state employees there are and stuff?
Yeah, we've got a sizable state budget. Governor Doyle came in on a platform of reducing the size of state government, both in terms of spend as well as overall size. The budget, to give you an idea, we have a biennial budget. Every 2 years, we pass a budget of about $52 billion in total spend across all of our organizations in state government. So it's a sizable amount of taxpayer dollars that we're responsible for. And if you're talking about just the executive branch, the truly state government organization, we've got between 60,000 and 64,000 employees in state government, according to those counts. And then on a local level, we have topping another 100,000 employees that are local government employees but remain in things like our Wisconsin retirement system and things like that.
Now let's talk a little bit about your role. What are your responsibilities and duties as Wisconsin's chief information officer?
And try not to be flippant, but my responsibilities since I've come in, when the Doyle administration first came into office, we faced a $3.2 billion budget deficit, and since have faced another $1.6 billion budget deficit with the commitment not to raise taxes. And so my job was to do the impossible and make that impossible possible. We've done an awful lot of good work to do that. My primary job, as I talk about it, is managing change throughout state government. So it's not simply an information technology responsibility. It really is a change management issue for state government that has been around for a very long time and has gotten used to the way they traditionally have done business. In specific, the chief information officer for the state has both operational as well as policy responsibilities. So we do operate the state's data center. We operate the mainframe operations as well as distributed systems. And we operate basically any of the infrastructure that information technology or information services use throughout state government. The kind of the more exciting, what I spend more of my time on other than operational issues, is the policy work. And that's really where the change comes in. What we need to do at the state is take a look at the way we do business, take a look at the strategic important roles that the governor lays out and the legislature lays out for us, and how do we use information technology to achieve those things. And we're in the middle, I call a transition game, where we are right now. We've kind of laid out a grand vision to unify a lot of the infrastructure pieces, and we're working those every day as we speak. And we're in the middle of true revolutionary transition for state IT, for folks to be kind of a center of excellence for the rest of the country to take a look at.
Now, I understand that you joined state government about 3 years ago after working in the private sector. How would you contrast your experience of having worked in the private sector with now the kind of responsibilities you have in the public sector?
That's a great question. You know, I think I would probably have had a different answer when I first started. But I've come to understand more deeply the charge of the public sector and the work of the public sector. I would have said when we started that there was a great deal of difference between the way the private sector works and the way the public sector works. When I talk about it now, though, what I talk about is what must be my private sector compatriots that do chief information work in the private sector must have the easiest job in the world compared to what we do. We live in a fishbowl. We have public records requests. We have politicians involved with the decisions that we make. It becomes an increasingly difficult thing to accomplish. But the great part of being a public sector and a state CIO is you have this kind of compelling – what I talk about is the compelling bottom line. In the private sector, my bottom line was profit. It's pretty easy to measure, pretty easy to take account for. In the public sector, we work for things like justice itself with the court system and the justice information systems that we run, education of our children, healthy families, and a growing economy, and a great natural environment in the state of Wisconsin. Those are things you can wake up every day and get excited about going to work for. So the main difference between public sector and private sector work is the more compelling bottom line that exists in the public sector.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand when you took the job that you wound up immediately supporting a $40 million cut in IT expenditures for the state. Can you tell us a little bit more about that kind of dynamic?
Yeah. Well, you know, we inherited a $3.2 billion budget deficit, and we had a very strong commitment to eliminating that deficit without raising taxes. To do that, you got to take some pretty radical moves. I always describe my first week, I had a $2.75 million budget cut on my desk, and I said, is there anything that we can do? Is there anything that we can do to – no, that's just done. You've got to absorb that budget cut. So I thought I was a former lobbyist in my prior life, and so I said, I know what I'll do. We'll go to the Joint Finance Committee. I know those political people. I speak their language. I understand what their desires are. And one of the Joint Finance members came up aside to me and said, can you save $40 million across the board in IT? And I, without even thinking about it, said, yeah, I think there's enough room there for us to make that. And that turned into emotion about 2 minutes later. So I thought I should then just stop talking to politicians and try to do our job. But that actually built a great relationship with the legislature. I mean, I've got a great Democratic governor, and I've got a great Republican legislature. And so I need to make sure that we build those bridges where we can. And we were on the same page in that first year saying that we need to reduce the size of government. We need to reduce the waste in government. We need to attack it very, very aggressively. And the result was a $40 million across-the-board cut.
But that creating that sense of urgency allowed you to do some stuff that you could not probably have been able to do if you had the money.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You don't want to be cutting. That's not kind of why you wake up in the morning and you want to be able to cut programs that we've done for a long time. But the urgency that was created by that allowed us to do some great best practices. It led directly to things like the email consolidation that we're in the middle of right now, server consolidation, which we're in the middle of right now as well, and allowing us to invest in a new data center in the middle of this budget crisis, because we were able to shutter 52 other ones. So I don't know that would have been possible possible. It would have been much harder. I'm an eternal optimist, so I don't want to say that it would be impossible. Yeah. But it would have been much harder without the $40 million pressure that we had on us.
Well, you understand you're also the president of a national organization, something called the National Association of State Chief Information Officers. Could you tell a little bit about what this organization is, what it does, kind of what your role is?
NASIO, the National Association, is a fantastic organization that represents the 50 state CIOs throughout the United States, as well as the CIOs from Guam and Puerto Rico, where I always hope we'll have our annual conference, but we never seem to get out there. We do a great job. NASIO does an incredible job of representing the interest of state CIOs, both locally inside state government, but also on a federal level. Very recently, I was at the representing NASIO at the National Governors Association meeting in Washington, D.C., and what we do there is bring the points to all of the governors about what the best practices are, what the non-controversial items are, the things that we can do to make government more efficient and more effective for state taxpayers. Mm-hmm. So we do have kind of the – NASIO does have this dual role of supporting state CIOs in their states, but also advocating at a federal level for policies that make sense for state CIOs.
Well, that's great. Now, how is the state of Wisconsin using e-government to improve the engagement of its citizens? We will ask Wisconsin Chief Information Officer Matt Michevsky to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.